I'm not discussing that, whether we need to reevaluate our estimate of our strengths and abilities. I'm saying that God knows what they truly are, and God does not force us beyond what He knows them to be. Instead of forcing us, God, as the Good Shepherd, is constantly ministering to our needs. I know sometimes it's difficult to believe, but if you believe the Bible tonight, you can believe this, that the God of heaven knows the weight that is upon our shoulders. And it ought to give us confidence to realize tonight that even as we slumber and sleep, that God does not slumber and sleep. And that He is going out as we sleep safely in the fold and working to prepare for our needs tomorrow. This same psalmist said, Psalm 121 verses 3 and 4, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, He that keepeth Israel will not slumber or sleep. You see, we can sing in faith. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. We can rest assured that with that promise we will receive the fulfillment of the blessed assurance of Jesus Christ. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. The prophet Isaiah prophesied in the long ago, Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. And the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55 in verse 1 gave us the invitation, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's the Good Shepherd. There is rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There is refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There is restoration. He restoreth my soul. This word translated, restoring my soul, means to bring the soul back again to itself. And I suggest to you that that expression can mean one of two things. Number one, it can mean to bring back the soul that has gone astray. And doesn't that beautifully describe the work of the Good Shepherd? We'll not take the time to read it tonight, but before you go to bed, you may want to open your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, and read the parable of the lost sheep. How when that one sheep had gone astray, the good shepherd left the 99 and went out into the highways and byways searching for that one lost sheep. And when he had found it, he laid it upon his shoulder and brought it home again. It cost him toil, it cost him pain. But I want you to notice something. I don't know if you've ever had the experience as a parent. It's been such a long time since my kids were small, it's hard for me to remember. I wouldn't want to remember something like that if I did it anyway. Eric might remember. But I've seen it, and you may have as well. Shopping in a grocery store or a department store, and all of a sudden little Johnny or little Susie is lost. And you hear a child crying and you hear a mama calling out. And the first thing you know, little Johnny's found, and what does mama do? She goes across the store just like that. Because little Johnny did something, he got lost, and little Johnny ought to know better than that. Good folks remember that. And you go home tonight and read the parable of the lost sheep. And you read the pain and the difficulty that the shepherd had in finding that sheep. And when he found it, you'll discover that he didn't treat it roughly. He didn't abuse it. He didn't whip it across the lot. He didn't take the rod and drive it back. He took it and he gently laid it upon his shoulder. And he carried it home rejoicing. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me. And on his shoulders gently laid and home rejoicing brought me. We sometimes sing the hymn which says, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. No, you and I can't begin to start to commence to comprehend what Jesus did to find you and to find me. But the one thing we can know is that when found, he lays us upon his shoulder and goes home rejoicing. But it can not only mean to bring back that which has gone astray, it can mean the revival of a fading life. And I want to suggest to you that to this point, what the Good Shepherd provides has been directed toward physical needs. Physical needs that may in some sense relate to spiritual needs, but expressed in terms of physical needs. He leads me, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. But you see, man is something more than a physical body with physical and temporal needs. Man is also a soul. And there's something within man that simply cannot be satisfied by water and by grass, by food and by clothing. There is a side to man that nature cannot touch. You and I know. And we know better and better as we get older and older and as we step away from the cradle and step more closely to the grave. That there are sights that are far more beautiful that the eye longs to see, that there are harmonies far more sweet that the ear longs to hear, that there are friendships more abiding that we long to enjoy than those that are bound in time. And God says to us, I want you to know that I will restore your soul. And I have given you, he says, the means to restoration. Oh, how beautiful they are. He has given us his word. His word read, his word heard, his word meditated upon, his word hidden in our hearts. And I suggest to you that you cannot take that word deep into your soul without being refreshed by its very presence. He's given us the means to restore our souls in prayer. Have you not heard the psalmist as he in despair says, my soul cleaveth to the dust? And then you have seen him as he goes to his knees in prayer and as he comes forth refreshed and restored. He's given us the means of restoring our soul in praising him. Haven't you sometimes experienced being down in the mouth and down in the heart and down in the soul and hurting in the head? And you've come to a worship service like this and you've joined in praise unto God and you've sung hallelujah, praise Jehovah. You've joined in sweet fellowship and praise with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And before you know it, the service is over and you're leaving. And you've forgotten all about your ailments and your ills and your problems and your trials. Oh yes, God's given us the means to restore our souls. God's given us the means to restore our souls, sweet fellowship with the saints. I'm not just talking about the converse that we have from time to time. I'm not just talking about the fellowships that we may enjoy as we did last Friday evening, as wonderful as those things are. But I'm talking about joining with the saints in one precious body, the church of the living God, the body of Jesus Christ. And being a member of that body, whether I'm a toe or a finger or whatever I may be, and knowing that I've got brothers and sisters who will rejoice with me when I'm happy, who will weep with me when I'm sad, who will lift me up when I've fallen. I'm talking about the blessed privilege of being with people who love me. He restoreth my soul. But you know what the key is to that? He restores my soul. It's personal, brethren. I've got a God who loves me and who's concerned about me and who's provided all of these things for me. He restores my soul. You remember what we learned about the Good Shepherd in our beginning lesson? He calls His own sheep by name. And tonight He's not looking down here and saying, "Hey, you all, do you hear me?" He's saying, "Jess, I'm speaking to you. Jess, all of these blessings I've got and all of these wonders, they are yours if you will have them. And if I will tonight, I can hear His voice. Have I heard His voice? Have you heard His voice tonight? There's a test. It's in John 10 and verse 27. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Have you heard His voice? Are you following Him tonight? Have you followed Him when He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned"? Are you following Him when He says, "Be thou faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life"? Somehow, deep down in the heart of every man, wearied and weakened by sin, by lies, Satan's untruth, there is the instinct that for him, for me, the only way that we can do that, to be restored, to have these promises, is to go back to the beginning and start all over again. And what this gospel tells you tonight is that that is possible. No, not that you can go back to the beginning and enter into your mother's womb and be born again, but that you can go back to the beginning and be born of water and the Spirit, and you can be raised to walk in newness of life. And you can look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who will give you rest and refreshment and restoration all the days of your life. And if you'll be faithful to Him, yea, forever and forever, those promises are yours if you'll reach out and lay hold on them. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?